Was that your sound?
It wasn't my sound. Oh, okay. No, I said the Lord standeth at the doorbell and ring the doorbell instead of knock. So. Oh, bless you. See?
One more.
All right. He's allergic to my preaching. All right. So good to see you. Happy that you're here. We have visitors with us. We want to tell you what we're doing here in this class. We are reading through the book, The Eternal Kingdom, written by F.W. Maddox. John Cray as well has his penmanship involved in this book as well. It's a great book. It goes back quite a few years. When I started teaching this class, I had quickly learned that there were folks that know Brother Maddox or knew of him, and were blessed to be able to still yet have his material published and search the scriptures and see if these things are so. Hopefully, prayerfully, you're learning a great deal. If you don't have one of these books, I've got a loaner copy up here. If someone needs one, does someone need one? Okay. And, okay.
Here we go.
Do you need one? Okay. All right. All right. So anyway, in our previous lesson, we really hashed out John 4:24. Jesus tells us that we're to worship God in spirit and in truth. And I'm thinking of Brother Raymond. Raymond was just emphatic. In truth, in truth. That's what he was saying. In truth, in truth. And both have to be there, right? God intends for us to worship in spirit and in truth. And we discussed that at length last week, and we discussed the acceptable worship unto God is by what we see commanded in Scripture, examples that we see of the first century church worshiping, or that which is inferred that we see in Scripture. Tonight I would like for us to consider the manner of life the early Christians possessed and that they portrayed. I don't intend this week to get to the apostolic fathers. You can go ahead and read ahead. Maybe you've already done that. Whenever we cover a period of about 100 AD to 315 AD with regards to church history. But I want us to spend some time tonight discussing the manner of life. If you have this book, let's go ahead and turn. And I've got this one. I know most have this one. I've got the older one too. But I believe it's page 40. And let's go ahead and have someone to read the first paragraph where it begins with manner of life. On page 40, and it goes over to 41. So who wants to read the first paragraph? Lloyd, go for it.
It was customary for early Christians to share their faith and hope and also their possession. In the Jerusalem church, before the persecution began, it was customary for the Christians to have their regular meals together. As the number was large and included many poor, it was necessary for those with possessions to care for those who were without. This situation became complicated because of the large number of persons away from home. They had come from great distances to worship at the temple. After the establishment of the church and their conversion, it was natural for them to desire to remain in Jerusalem to learn from the apostles, participate in the activities of the church. Soon their money was gone, work was unavailable, and accordingly the number dependent upon the daily administration of food increased. With this situation, local Christians sold their possessions and gave the money to the apostles to be used as there was need.
Thank you, Lloyd. Who wants to read that next, the next two paragraphs there? Go ahead, Dan.
Some have used this situation to support the contentions of socialists and communists in their effort to establish a system of community of goods or state ownership of property. Nothing is further from the truth. When the early Christians brought money to the apostles, it was a voluntary sharing. The apostles did not divide everyone's property so that they all had an equal amount. Neither did they hold the property of all to be used by all. They used what was voluntarily given to meet the needs of those who had nothing. Distribution was made according as anyone had need, but the system is clearly that of private ownership of property. Out of the early custom of eating together, the love feast. This term applied to the meal that was eaten preceding the Lord's Supper. The entire congregation brought their food to the place of worship and ate together a common meal. This custom varied, and in some places, the love feast followed the worship. The poor of the community were invited to share in the meal.
Thank you. Thank you, Dan.
Appreciate it.
Is that like a kind of
fellowship meal? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to look at a couple passages tonight, Lord willing, where we see an example of the agape feast or love feast that's written in Jude. A couple other places that we can look at. Thank you, Jeff. So let's talk about this. In the first paragraph, Maddox says there are three things that the Christians shared. What were those three things?
Faith,
hope, and possessions. Okay. So let's pause for a moment. How do you share your faith and your hope? I mean, I think we've got the possessions part down. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But what does that mean, to share your faith with someone, to share your hope?
Lloyd? Those who don't know the gospel.
What's that?
Teaching those who don't know the gospel.
Okay, to teach. Okay, to take time to sit down and to teach. And it is incumbent upon us, if we're going to teach somebody, we need to know what we're teaching, right? So we have to be students of the word. Don?
I think both the faith and the hope is what we do in our classes. Mm-hmm. Today, in our adult class, we get together, we talk about problems and issues that come up, mm-hmm. and we share from the scriptures mm-hmm. the best way to handle those. Mm. But I think our hope that we share is the back and forth as we talk about problems we've had, how we fixed them, and we get advice from each other.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good. Dale?
Actions speak louder than words.
Okay, because the topic is manner of life, isn't it? Okay, how you live your life, right? You know, people, they draw conclusions based upon, make judgments based upon how you live your life. Good point. Go ahead.
Well, in the first century church, too, you didn't have the Bible as we have today to be able to share the word. But the Holy Spirit was on them that were baptized into the church.
Mm-hmm.
The way they shared it was through the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And also, letters were circulating, and copies of letters were circulating and being read to churches, okay? But you're right, exactly. They didn't have the written collection like we have it today. You're exactly right about that. You know, there's a couple passages that jump out at me. And going back again to John chapter 4. You remember Jesus' discussion there with that woman at the well in Sychar, Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. There's a passage I want us to go back and I want us to see, and you're perhaps well aware of the context here, how Jesus was passing through Samaria, enemy territory, by the way, for a Jew. Okay, it's tense. It's already tense. You're in your rival's home field, okay? You're on his playground here, so to speak, okay? So, and here he is. You remember he has this discussion with this woman. little bit about her life. She was a saint, wasn't she?
No.
We know better than that, right? Okay, she wasn't. Okay, her life was a mess. Keith's back there. But anyway, Keith's lesson tonight was on choices. She made some bad choices, didn't she? Okay? And again, right? So, you know, and Jesus, in trying to get her attention on talking about spiritual matters. Listen, guys, here's where it is. When we talk about, and sometimes you got charlatans that pass through and preach and teach on, you know, how God's going to make you a millionaire. You know, Jesus in John chapter 4, it isn't about the physical water at all, is it? It's about spiritual matters, right? It's about spiritual, okay? Then she draws a conclusion based upon, hey, look, you know, he drew attention to the fact that she had had five husbands. The man she's living with is not her husband. Well, I perceive you're a prophet. And like most people do, whenever you run into a preacher, hey, I got a Bible question for you. So, and then a discussion breaks out with regards to worship, okay? But there's a comment that is made here that Jesus so impressed her. I want you to come down. Someone look in John chapter 4. I'll give you a chance to get there. John chapter 4. And look, if you would, at verses 28 and 29 in John chapter 4. Who has that? John 4. Don?
John 4, 28 and 29.
Yes, sir.
The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, "Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?"
Now, why did she go to Jacob's well? Why did she go there?
To get water.
And what did she leave behind?
A water pot.
Wow. You know? I mean, I'd say she was pretty well impressed with Jesus that, you know, anything and everything else is secondary. You know? This man has really touched me. He's really impressed me. And she is now going out and she's telling others about who? About Jesus, isn't she? Okay? She's telling others. I think this is a small sample size, Patsy, of, you know, this is kind of how we share our faith with people. You know, we tell people about Jesus, our encounter with Christ. And it kind of tickles me, Ron, because sometimes, you know, people will say, oh, I don't know anything about the gospel and sharing the gospel with people. I'll just leave that for the experts in the church, the elders and the deacons and the leaders and the Bible class teachers and the preacher. I'll leave that for them. I'm going to share something with you. Listen, anytime you share your conversion story, you've shared Christ with somebody. Did you know that? Now, if you don't think so, then I'd like to know how in the world and who you were converted to. Because in your conversion story, you're sharing with someone how you came to know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, right? Isn't that right? You're sharing the good news with them. You're sharing, we're talking about our hope, okay? We're sharing with them, hey, you know what? I made some bad choices. I'm not going to give that woman at the well a hard time because I'm just a different version of her, and I made some bad choices in my life. And, but boy, I tell you what, ever since I gave my life to Christ, I obeyed the gospel, I have hope. I have a living hope of going to heaven, okay? And that's what we're talking about here when we're talking about sharing our faith and sharing our hope. And I hope, I mean, I use that in a different way, but that's nothing foreign to you. I fear sometimes what happens in the denominational world, we look at it and say, oh, you know, are you talking about witnessing? I don't care, folks, call it whatever you want. When we are called on to share our faith with others and our hope, God expects that of us. Acts chapter 8. Let's go back and look. Acts chapter 8. You remember the Ethiopian and Philip? And he's having that discussion, and he reads from Isaiah chapter 53. Someone do me a favor. Go over back to Acts chapter 8, and I want you to just read one verse in Acts chapter 8, verse, I think it's verse 33. I hope that's right. I'm not sure. Someone read Acts chapter 8, verse 33. Who's got that? Go ahead.
In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation?
Ooh. He's reading the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, isn't he? Isaiah 53, right? And he's reading about who's the topic?
Jesus.
Jesus is the topic, isn't he? And who will declare his generation? I don't know about you, but my takeaway is the fact that he expects us.
His life was taken from him.
His life was taken from him. That's exactly right. The subject is Jesus. He preached Jesus to him. As a matter of fact, it says that. Luke writes that. He preached Jesus to him. But you see, who's going to declare his generation?
And Philip was sent for that very
specific reason, wasn't he, Don?
Yeah,
that very specific reason.
Spirit sent Philip there.
That's exactly right. And I hope and pray that as God's people, God's children, that we pray for opportunities, you know, to share our faith, to share our hope with others. Not everybody's going to listen, okay? We live in a very selfish world, okay? And sometimes, you know, we can attend churches that are very selfish if we're not focused on Jesus, right? But if we can just meet someone, talk to somebody about our hope and our faith, you never know whose heart would be touched, okay? It's that sower and the seed. Okay, now let's talk about our possessions, okay? So what does that mean? What's that all about? Share your possessions. Do we have a model? Do we have an example in the scriptures of how that happens or where that happens? You don't have to read far and look far, do you?
Good model and bad model.
Okay, good and bad. Yeah, Ananias
and Sapphira. Barnabas on the good side,
right?
And Ananias and Sapphira.
That's exactly right. And that's intentional, right? That's intentional. That's illustrated intentionally for us, you know, with Barnabas and Ananias and Sapphira. But we have an example. Thank you, Jeremy, for not running me over. I know you could have, you know. Just envision that football in my hand and just blow me up, you know. But anyway, yeah, he got to thinking about it because he knows I like Ole Miss. Yeah, he's a Mississippi State guy. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's getting real personal now. But you know, we see the church coming together. And what Brother Maddox is sharing with us, I think is interesting. Did you ever think about that, how Christians, okay, not at this particular time, but Jews are going to Jerusalem for the Feast of the Pentecost. Okay, it's a major feast. Okay, they're making their way to Jerusalem. And while there, wow, you know, these mass conversions begin to take place. The people are being converted to Christ, right? And not everybody stayed, but some people did stay. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, didn't they? Okay? And no doubt there had to be some that said, hey, let's plant our roots here. I mean, let's learn, you know, what is being taught. But we got to start over. Dan, hey, I'm going to tell you what, folks. There's people right now having to start over throughout the Miami Valley. Huh? We'll talk about that in a little bit. But, you know, so we'll... Now, is that what I think God intended for everybody just to stay in Jerusalem? No. As a matter of fact, I think he wanted them to take the gospel and go back home and share it, right? But some people would stay, and they would stay longer. Maybe they would go back home, okay?
Some of them could have been there since Passover.
That's true.
Because that was like
a month out.
Yeah.
Yeah, almost 2 months out.
Oh, yeah, like a two-month period. Yep. So if they save up their money, they go, like sometimes folks go on summer vacation back home. They would go. And so there could have been some folks who'd been there since Passover.
Yep.
And now it's Pentecost, and they're figuring, oh, man, we'll just make it one more day.
Yeah, we didn't plan for this.
And then we'll go home.
Yeah.
And there suddenly.
But God had a solution. Didn't God have a solution?
Yeah.
You know, what was God's solution?
Share.
Let's all share. Let's all share. Okay? And it was all voluntary. Okay? But, you know, the greatest example, I love what Paul was writing in 2 Corinthians in chapter 8. when he's really trying to encourage the Corinthians on how to give, if you go back and you read it real close, look who he puts forth as a model of giving. Okay? Jesus. And he gave his life. Now, I'm just saying, you know, if it sounds like I'm giving you a guilt trip on giving, I'm just saying. You know, he's the great example of giving everything, you know. And he's just encouraging them, now share, okay? Share with others, okay? Paul would write about that, wouldn't he, in Galatians in chapter 6 and verse 10. Paul would say, as we have opportunity, let us do good to just the church. Do good to all, right? Do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. But do good to all, okay? Wow. You know, Monday, did you ever think that, I mean, it just, did it seem unreal to you what was happening Monday evening?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I remember watching the news and, you know, a tornado, and it was... It was. They were sure it was a tornado that had passed through, even though it was nighttime. Man, I'll tell you what. Just think about this. What were there, five tornadoes that passed through the Miami Valley? Was it five? Whoa, okay. There was a lot. Okay, man, you guys have like preacher count. You know, there were 500 people that were here Sunday morning. So, but anyway, you know, there were a lot of tornadoes. Listen, could you imagine if it were daytime and we're watching all these whirly birds going by? Oh, my goodness. You know, and it was frightening. It was frightening enough at nighttime, okay? But, you know, with that being the case, guys, do we have opportunity to do good?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. God, I'm going to tell you what. We were spared. We were spared. You know, I went out and I looked in my backyard, and I got this big old tree. And I don't even think a limb came out of it. Not even a limb came out of that tree, you know. And
but around Fairfield Commons,
uh-huh.
Signs down,
exactly.
Trees down, all kinds of
things. Exactly. And it depends where you're at. Okay, Fairborn's kind of a big place. But, you know, we were spared. You know, it was a humbling experience. I'm going to share something with you. Tuesday morning, yesterday morning, I received a text. David Edmonds is the minister at Castle Hills. Castle Hills is a merger of Huber Heights and Vandalia. And I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but at Castle Hills, they have their own disaster relief team. Their own disaster. And their elders are over that disaster relief team. Okay? Now, I realize there's one out of Nashville, and I think they set up shop at Northbridge, okay? But at Castle Hills, everything's done in-house. Go ahead, Linda.
They call it disaster response.
Disaster response.
Because they don't go when it first happens. They are still going to the area where Michael hit. They're still going now.
Right. That's well thought out. But, you know, David sent me a text, and he said, I want to know if everyone in your congregation is okay. And I said, to the best of my knowledge, no news is good news, right? You know, he says, well, we wanted to check and see if we could help you guys out if your members were hit and we could step in and help you. I mean, that's the biblical model, isn't it? That's the biblical model.
I've had calls or texts from 8 former members all over the country.
Wow.
Asking the same question.
Wow.
Rufus Davis, Myrna Holder, some of our friends up in Canada,
mm-hmm.
in the church up there, they were all just calling to see if we were okay.
That's great. That's great. But, so, you know, guys, but I guess what I'm saying is, with that being said, you know, let's be mindful of the fact that we were spared, you know. We had some minor damage. I know poor Tony Diaspora, we got a new truck. Did you know that? He owned it a day, I think, in hell. destroyed the body of it. He's already filing an insurance claim. So said, I guess my takeaway is you shouldn't have got a new truck. You know, I mean, I don't know what to tell you, brother. So, you know, you should have got a Volvo. But anyway, hey, I got a new motto. Friends don't let friends buy Volvos. Okay? Just Never forget that one. Friends don't let friends buy Volvos. Okay.
Would you willing to sell it to Tony?
What's that?
Would you willing to sell yours to Tony?
Oh, yes. I love Tony too much to sell him that piece of junk. But anyway, so, you know, guys, here's what I'm saying is we have an opportunity right under our nose. Now, I realize, what are they accepting? I don't think they're just accepting water right now from what I'm hearing in the Dayton area right now, just water. But, man, water's life. You know, that's important, you know. That's critical. So, guys, here's an opportunity. Yes, Vaughn.
In this area over at Fresh Time, if anybody calls and needs water, there's two cases of free water at Fresh Time over here by Colton.
Okay, and now let me ask you this. Is the Fairfield Commons Mall, is that where you're talking about?
Yes.
Is that road accessible? Is it? Can you drive on it? I have not been out, guys.
We couldn't yesterday.
Some of it, not all of it.
Okay. But you can there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also at Divers High School. Because we've been without water.
Okay.
Our water came back on today at 3.
Okay.
But we were without water and without cable. Seemed like in our little plaque.
Got hit.
That's what we only got hit with. But
okay.
We drove around the day to see some of the destruction, and we could not believe it. Three of the foster girls that we have, their auntie's house is destroyed.
Mm.
It's destroyed. Mm. So, you know.
That's an awful feeling.
Yeah, it is. Because when we rolled past there, the devastation was just, it's one thing to see it on TV,
mm-hmm.
and another thing to see it in person. And to experience that, to turn on the water, and the water comes on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll wager to say that perhaps some of these homeowners, they don't even have homeowners insurance.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So, guys, all I'm saying is here's an opportunity to serve. Okay? Here's an opportunity for us to serve. And it's not about who gets credit. Okay, if that's what you're thinking, you're doing it for the wrong reason, don't even do it. Okay? But it's just an opportunity to help somebody. Okay? We're talking about manner of life. Dale had mentioned that earlier. You know, and when it's genuine, people see it. They know. Okay? They know. All right? So this is the model that we see. This is the model that we have when we look at the first century church. Now, Dan was talking earlier about the love feast. Okay, let's look at a few passages. They're up here. Someone go take 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And that same person also take verses 12 through 13. And someone else take Jude, that's not chapter 3. Verses 3 through 4 and 12 through 13, I believe that's right. So who's got the Peter passage? Who's got that? Who's got the 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3? Who's got that? Ron, go ahead, Ron. And then, Roger, I'll get you with the Jude passage.
Okay. But there are the false teachers here?
Yes, right? Yep.
But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. You said 2-3, right?
2-3.
Yeah. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not.
Okay, and then jump down to verses 12 and 13.
Okay. But these, as natural brute beasts, be made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the day, in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceiving while they feast with you.
While they feast with you. Now, who are we talking about here? What kind of teachers?
False.
These are false teachers. And they're making merchandise of you. Okay? When they're looking at you, I mean, this is awful. Many will follow their destructive ways. Because of them, the way of the truth will be what? Blasphemed. What does that mean? You know, others are looking at these gullible church people, and can you believe that they fall for that? You know? That's silly. You know? Everybody sees, you know, they're not genuine. They're not authentic. You know? And who's gonna want to obey the truth and go to the church whenever this stuff is going on? Okay? But he says they are, you know, whenever with regards to feasting, okay? They have eyes full of adultery. Okay? Eyes full of adultery. You know, meaning what? You know? Everything and anything they're doing is for the flesh. There's nothing spiritual here. Okay? That's exactly right. Okay? So, you know, they're like spots, you know, blemishes in your love feast. Okay? Now, when we get together for a common meal, we share. You know, I just heard an announcement this morning about the men's breakfast. Okay, that's coming up Saturday morning. I almost said Sunday morning. That'd have been interesting. Hey, if you want to bring something Sunday morning, I'll eat it. Okay? But Saturday morning, okay? And there's guys come in and bring these nice, wonderful dishes that their wives made. And Keith made gravy and biscuits. And, oh, wait a minute, I digress.
You didn't say I made the gravy and
biscuits? Yeah, old Dad Vaughn makes the gravy and biscuits. See, I did it. Yeah, you don't, do you? Keith makes the, we know. Okay.
I go downstairs and get gravy and biscuits.
Right. Hey, Vaughn, mine's in a package at Kroger's. I drop in boiling water, you know. So, but anyway, you know, and we come together and we have a good time. You know, we eat, we enjoy our fellowship together. You know, we don't have a food fight. We don't have a fight. You know, it's just a good time. But this feast in particular, these guys, you know, they're corrupt. Okay? This isn't a good gathering at all. Okay, Roger, do you have the Jude passage? Will you read that?
Yeah, was that 3 and 4?
Yes.
Okay. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, long ago were marked out for the condemnation, and godly men who turned the grace of God into lewdness and denied the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, and then Roger, go down and look at verses 12 and 13.
Okay. These are spots in your love feast. While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves, they are clouds without water, carried about by the wind. Autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots.
Okay. Go ahead and read the next verse.
Raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom it was reserved for the blackness of darkness forever.
Not good words, right? Okay. And what does he say in verse 12? They are spots in your what? They are stains, they're blemishes, they're marks. In what?
Love feast.
Your love feast. Okay, when you guys get together and eat, okay, it's a bad setup, okay? It's a bad setup. So, Dan, that's what you were asking earlier about. That's what it was. A love feast was just a common meal that the church had, okay? It wasn't a part of the worship. It was just a common meal that they shared in, okay? If there's one thing we are good at in the church, it is eating, okay? Always have been, okay? Lloyd.
We always looked at when we were in Springfield and the old road, we would have a love feast after the worship. But any visitors that we had, we only apply that. A lot of people that have been, come our way unannounced.
Mm-hmm.
We had a guy that stopped in there one year, and he sat there and he talked to us. We took him home with us for lunch.
Uh-huh.
And so I got a little nervous and asked him what his position was. Well, he was the president of one of the church colleges.
Harding?
No, it wasn't Harding.
Reed Hardeman?
No, Oklahoma.
Okay, I was going to get there eventually. Yeah. Texas?
But, you know, that meant an awful lot to him.
Right.
But it meant an awful lot to us.
Absolutely.
The first time we ever met, Roger and
Jen.
Their daughter married Cody Frick.
Yes.
And his daddy.
And that's new news, isn't it? That's still fresh news, isn't it? Yeah. Did you see those two here on Sunday? Boy, they're just happy together. Give it some but I'm just joking. Go ahead.
Jim came home and from the military. He had served in I can't think of it. Man, old age. What's the island?
Oh, man, I don't know. The best I could come up with is Gilligan's.
Yeah. Sorry. It's one of our bases.
Guam?
No.
Don. Yeah, a little help. That's okay.
You hear him? Diego Garcia?
What?
Diego Garcia?
No.
What's the one off the north coast of Spain?
Philippines.
Oh.
Philippine Island.
Okay.
Maybe tomorrow.
You're right. It'll catch up to you, Lloyd.
I remember Jim Jacobs. We did that too. We did it.
Yes.
Tell you a real story about him one day.
Oh, boy, I can't wait. You know, but Lloyd, you're right. You know, there is something about sharing a meal with somebody and being hospitable, okay? Back in the day, man, that was common. Back in the day, that was common, you know? Not so much anymore, and that's... And it's sad, but, you know, back in the day, that was a common thing.
Chicken on the ground.
Hey, I'm going to tell you, one time I spoke over at East High, and Lloyd, now it's my turn. My needle's off the record now, and you can get to help me. One of the elders there. Come on, the elders over at
East High.
Gary and Wanda.
Wanda.
Yeah. Phil Greer came up to me after the meeting. He says, Scott, did they pay you? And she goes, and she steps and says, come on, Phil, we gave him a chicken dinner tonight. So I said, that's quite fine. It was great chicken, you know. But you're right. You know, there is just something about that. Whenever we come together and we have a common meal and we can share good times together, you know, that's a great story. So let me fast forward next, Jeff. Let's see if this is probably puts out. Okay, yep, yay. All right. Although absolute truth and the cords of love provided a solid foundation for Christians, false teaching was just around the corner. Okay? Jesus warned against it in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. Who wants to read that real quick? Because we've got like 4 minutes. Go for it.
Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs up some other way is the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, so they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice.
Ooh, guys, listen to me. Jesus' voice is the only voice in your Bibles right there that we need to be listening to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, seriously. I mean, that's it right there. I don't really need to read any other passages. And
You know, Christ is pointing out to us is that, you know, the voice of a stranger needs to remain the voice of a stranger. How do we know it's the voice of a stranger? If it doesn't measure up, if it doesn't match what we're reading in the Scriptures. The apostles issued warnings against it in Acts chapter 20, verses 27 through 31, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, which we already read, and 1 Timothy in chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. John Weaver could quote that one to you. Real easy. Okay? The second century and beyond manifested a departure from the truth. How do we safeguard ourselves against false teaching? Let me just throw it out there. You know, this is an open dialogue. How do we safeguard ourselves against false teaching?
By studying the Scriptures.
Okay, knowing the Scriptures. Okay? Okay, that's your standard. Okay? It's absolute truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, continue in these things that have been written. Continue in them. Anything else? Anything else? How about like being a Berean like mind? Remember when Paul was in Berea? What did they do when Paul was preaching and teaching?
Search the Scriptures daily.
He said, hey, let's check it out. You know, let's check it out to see if this guy's right, because we know God's right. That's another way that you know. John would also tell us, guys, in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, to test the spirits if they be of God. The best way, what is the best way to test the spirits to know if they are of God? You mentioned the very first thing, that the very first item you shared. You check it with the Scriptures. Okay, measure with what God's Word says. And I'm going to tell you, when the world is on fire, the only thing that's going to stand is truth. Did you know that? When the world is on fire, the only thing that's going to stand is truth. Okay, so let's be people of the truth. All right, thank you for your time and your attention. I appreciate it.